Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Le Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
This is Tailgate Till May, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things too. I'm excited to welcome you back for another episode because we have a big weekend ahead in both college football and college basketball. We have bowl season finally getting started here. Seven games will be played on Saturday from 11 a.m. Eastern time is the first kickoff. So I think 9 or 9:15 is the last kick, that Independence Bowl between Texas Tech and Cal on Saturday evening. It should be a fun day. There's a lot of G5 teams in action, but there's seven football games, which is always fun. Always a great thing when you have seven Division I football games going on. Nice little kickoff to bowl season here. But what I'm even more excited about for this weekend is the slate of basketball games, because this is the kind of weekend that college basketball needs. Tonight, on Friday night, UConn plays Gonzaga in Seattle, a top 10 battle between really two of the best programs in the country over the last 20 years. I mean, pretty easily. I talked at length at the end of last season about how, by any measure, UConn is now a blue blood. I truly believe that. I'll have that conversation with anybody. UConn is much more of a blue blood at this point than Indiana is. If you're under the age of 35, under the age of 40, you have seen far more success from the UConn Huskies than you have from the Indiana Hoosiers. UConn is far more relevant to the modern day college basketball fan than Indiana is, at least on the national stage. Now, no shade. Well, maybe a little bit of shade to Indiana there, but it's just it's the truth. Look, Indiana is a program that's interesting to watch, but they have not been a national contender for most of my lifetime. And UConn almost annually is a national title contender. So two really good programs there going at it tonight in Seattle. Excited for that one. And then on Saturday, we have top five teams in action galore. We have power conference teams going up against one another. A battle of blue bloods. Kansas and Indiana. Kansas, a much more relevant blue blood at this point than Indiana is. Again, no shade Indiana. It's just that Kansas almost annually is a national title contender. They have the history and they have the recent success. Indiana still looking for some of that recent success. But those two teams will go head to head in Assembly Hall, a place I very much want to go. And maybe I'm not welcome now after I just threw all that shade at Indiana, but a place I'd still very much like to go. We have Baylor and Michigan State. You know, if you ask me before the season which of these teams would be number six in the country and which of these teams would be unranked going into this matchup, I would have guessed that it was the reverse. I would have guessed Michigan State was 9-0 and number six in the country, and maybe Baylor had gotten off to a slower start, but that's not the case. Baylor 9-0, six in the country. Michigan State 4-5, desperately needs a win to right the ship here. They play at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. You got Texas A&M in Houston playing at the Toyota Center in Houston. Talk more about that game later because I have a bet on that one. You have the surprise Clemson Tigers 9-0 on the year going to Memphis. They're going to play Memphis at the FedEx Forum. That should be a fun one. And then you have two monster matchups in the late afternoon. A top five battle, number one Arizona, number three Purdue. They play in Indianapolis. And guys, that game's on Peacock. So look, if you're a college sports fan, if you're listening to this podcast, go and make sure you have Peacock because you're not going to want to miss this one. And on CBS, an hour later at 5:30, that Arizona-Purdue game's 4:30. This is a battle of the bluest of blue bloods. North Carolina and Kentucky, they play in Atlanta. We got a huge weekend of college hoops ahead. The only thing that I think would make this weekend better from a college basketball perspective is if more of these games were actually on campus. As going through that schedule right there, we got Kansas, Indiana. That's actually on campus at Assembly Hall. Good for you guys. That's great. Love to see it. Baylor, Michigan State is not. Texas A&M, Houston is not. Arizona, Purdue is not. North Carolina, Kentucky is not. A couple games I didn't mention here, Alabama goes and plays Creighton. That is at Creighton's home arena, so like that one. And then to end the day, we have a nightcap, NC State against Tennessee in San Antonio. Again, I would just like these games to be on campus. I think it's a special part of college sports. I think there's no debating that the level of play, the level of basketball when you watch an NBA game is better than the level of play when you watch a college game. So all of this stuff around the games matters. And I don't love the idea of putting these in neutral sites. I think that home atmosphere, that home environment really does add to the game and is part of what we love about college sports. And we need to embrace it, not look for ways to ship these games out to pro arenas, to neutral sites. There are certain instances where it makes sense, but that is my one qualm with this big slate on Saturday, is there are too many games off campus, too many games at neutral sites. But outside of that, I'm excited for this weekend. It's a big weekend. It's exactly the kind of weekend that college basketball needs during this time of the year as it's trying to enter the national consciousness of the American sports fan. Like, this is a country that is NFL driven, football driven. The NFL and college football rule everything, and college basketball has to find a way to work itself into the national consciousness. The NBA, I thought, did a really good job with the NBA in-season tournament. I thought that was something that interested people. I thought that was something that got more attention than I necessarily thought it might. And, you know, I'd be interested to see what college basketball can do to kind of continue to fight this battle. Now, as I'll always say on this show, as I've said a million times on this show, the only way to solve some of these issues in college sports, whether it's college basketball dwindling attention to college basketball, college basketball kind of losing its place in the sports landscape, where it was once a very big deal and a big part of the sports conversation, even outside of March. It feels like it's lost a little bit of that, whether it's that or whether it's more regulatory things around the management of the sports and NIL or conference realignment, whatever. The only way a lot of this stuff is going to get fixed is with somebody actually being in charge, with some centralized organization actually being in charge. It should, of course, be the NCAA, but that's not really the case at the moment for a myriad of reasons. But either way, this is going to be a big weekend of college basketball. This is exactly the kind of weekends that the sport of college basketball needs to have in the month of December. As football winds down and as basketball heats up, you got to give people a reason to watch, and you'll give people a lot more of a reason to watch when you have matchups like Kansas, Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, Arizona, Purdue, than you will if you're just continuing to play cupcake out of conference games like the ones that I've been going to in College Park, Maryland the past couple weeks. Let me bring up the schedule here, because I can't even remember offhand exactly who they played. I went to the Rider game a couple weeks ago. Maryland wins 103-76, but it was one of the worst attended games I've ever seen. It was the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and I don't know what the official attendance was. I can't even begin to guess, but I know this much. I know Maryland gives out about 4,000 student tickets. The students completely surround the court on each side, and then on each side of the court, and then have a huge wall behind one basket. 4,000 student tickets there. And there could not have been more than 1,000 students there. And that's probably being generous. That's probably being generous to even say there were 1,000 students there. It was probably more like 500, 750, something along those lines. It was really, really bad. And Maryland's played a few good non-conference games this year. They've started conference play early, as well as the Big Ten now does two games in December. They went up to Villanova, but they haven't had any big non-conference matchups. And I understand why people wouldn't want to go, especially when you have a team that has not gotten off to a very good start, play teams like Rider and South Alabama and UMBC. And of course, UMBC had their famous upset as a 16 seed over number one seed Virginia, but they're not very good right now. They're ranked number 328 in KenPom. And I understand why, if you are paying for season tickets, you'd be frustrated by that. If you don't have season tickets but are thinking about going to a game, why you wouldn't want to spend your money on that. So I'm very pleased with this slate of college basketball this weekend, and excited to sit down and watch a ton of it and continue this transition into getting my brain into basketball mode. I said it last week. I feel like I'm starting to get there now. This weekend will help that even more, and I think it'll help the general average American sports fan get a little bit more into this college basketball season, because I do think there's a lot to offer this college basketball season. I find Purdue endlessly fascinating. I find Zach Edey fascinating. I think he is a player you just have to sit back and marvel at and enjoy, because he's going to end up being one of the best college basketball players we've ever seen. Every single night, this guy just goes out and puts up 20 points, 10 to 15 rebounds every night, no matter who they are playing. And I love the way that Matt Painter has approached this season from a scheduling perspective, where you look at their schedule and they're, I don't know what, 10 games into the season now. Let's see, Purdue's 9-1. They're 10 games into the season. They have played Xavier, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette. They've played Northwestern and Iowa in conference. Then they played Alabama, and they will play Arizona on Saturday. That is how you get your team ready if you think that you can compete for a national championship. That is exactly how you go about doing it. Because if you're going to lose a game, who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters in this sport is getting your team ready to play for 3 weeks in March. And I'm a firm believer that if you think you have a national championship caliber team, scheduling this way, putting them in tricky situations that they have to play through, where they have to figure things out against very high quality opponents, is going to help you a lot more than just beating the UMBCs of the world and the South Alabamas of the world and the Rioters of the world, the Gardner Webbs of the world by a million. I don't think that's going to help you. And look, even Purdue is going to play a few of those games, but not many. They've played Samford, Morehead State, Texas Southern, and they'll play Jacksonville and Eastern Kentucky. So they'll play about five of them in total. It's not bad. It's really not bad, especially when you compare it to the other games they are playing. I think that's the biggest thing for me when it comes to Purdue is Matt Painter is putting them in challenging situations that are going to help them in March. If you take a couple losses in November, it doesn't matter. Yeah, could it possibly knock you down a seed from a one seed to a two seed, from a two seed to a three seed? Maybe. But if it's against really good teams, probably not, because odds are you're going to pick up some big wins when you're scheduling like this too. Good losses against good teams don't really hurt you, but even if it does, even if it knocks you down from a one to a two, I think it's well worth it if it helps you become a better team over the course of the season. And I'm a firm believer that it does help you become a better team over the course of the season. I also think it's really important for these Big Ten teams because we know about the struggles of the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament over the past however many years. They haven't had a national champion since Michigan State in 2000. Technically, Maryland is now a member of the Big Ten. Well, Maryland is a member of the Big Ten now. They won a national championship in 2002 after Michigan State, but they weren't a Big 12 or Big Ten rather member when they won that championship. So I think it's fair to say the last team to win a national championship from the Big Ten is Michigan State over 20 years ago. So I think it's important. We know about the struggles of the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. And I think it's important when you are a team in the Big Ten that feels like you have a shot to win a national title, you go out and play teams that maybe play a little bit of a different style than you're going to see over the next 2 months, night in and night out in the Big Ten. The Big Ten has a very specific style of play. For the most part, you're going to see a lot of really good big men. The pace is going to be very slow. You're going to have some good defensive teams. And, you know, inside play is going to be what wins the day. Physicality is very important. You're going to see fewer teams with really quick athletic guards and wings than you might in the SEC or the Big 12 or the ACC. So I think it's really important for a team like Purdue to go and play some teams like that out of conference. Now, I'm not saying those teams don't exist at all in the Big Ten. They do, but it's not quite the same as what you're going to see in a conference like the Big 12. So I really like this scheduling for Matt Painter and Purdue. And I continue to really like this team, and I'm excited to see them play Arizona on Saturday. So all in all, a big weekend in college basketball that I'm really excited for. Now let's get to some picks here. My first pick, let's just start right there with that Purdue-Arizona game. I like Purdue here. I like Purdue on the money line. You can get Purdue at -114 money line, and I'm betting Purdue here. Purdue in these situations has consistently shown up over the past two seasons. Last year, they beat Marquette, West Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke. That's four games in a row that they won. That was at the Nike tournament out in Portland. They won those four games in a row to win that tournament. They all out of conference. They show up big time out of conference. This year as well, in Maui. They go and win Maui. They beat Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Marquette. They play really well out of conference. This is going to be a semi-home game, being in Indianapolis for Purdue. Really good big man matchup here between Zach Edey and Omar Ballo from Arizona. Zach Edey, to me, though, he is the best player in the country, and it's almost impossible for me to bet against him in a game like this where it's more or less a toss-up. Give me Zach Edey. Give me Purdue. They show up big time in these big games. He has been on an absolute tear recently. Even with their loss to Northwestern, he went to the free throw line 20 times in that game. He scored 35 points in that game. He was 15 of 20 from the free throw line. He's getting to the free throw line like roughly 10 times a game. He'll throw in some monster free throw performances in there. Like that Northwestern game, he had 20. Against Tennessee, he had 17. He is basically unstoppable. He's the best player on the court anytime he takes the court. I think we're going to have some conversations this year about where he ranks as far as all-time college basketball players. I think it's very, very high, and I love this Purdue team. I was high on them all offseason, despite the loss in the first round of the tournament last year. I think they've looked very good so far this season. I know they took a loss to Northwestern. It's not one that you want to take, but I still really like this team. This is the kind of game that I absolutely think they win, and why you have Zach Edey. So give me Purdue minus 114 on the money line. The next game that I'm going to bet is Texas A&M plus 9 against Houston. So this game is at the Toyota Center in Houston, and this is not Houston's home arena. This is where the Rockets play, and there are a lot of A&M fans around Houston in that part of Texas. So I think this will be a fairly split crowd. So you have to factor that in. And then I think this game, as good as Houston is, this game I think is going to be a slow, low scoring affair, which makes me want to take the points. And as good as Houston is right now, they're number one in KenPom. They're 10-0. I don't think they faced a team that's quite the caliber of Texas A&M yet. The best team they've played is probably either Utah or Xavier. They got wins in both of those games. They beat Utah by 10. They beat Xavier by 6. On KenPom right now, Houston is a 9-point favorite. But I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, and I like taking the points in a low-scoring game. The thing I also like about this matchup for Texas A&M is that Houston is great at defending the three-point line. Well, Texas A&M doesn't necessarily win by shooting the three. They weren't a great three-point shooting team last year. They're not a great three-point shooting team this year either. They rely on their point guard Wade Taylor a ton to get to the basket. They also are a very good offensive rebounding team, which is something that is going to challenge Houston, because Houston is known for being so good on the glass. But when it's not something they face every day, a team that is also so competent in that area. So I think this game is going to be a real challenge for Houston. I think it ends up being a close game. I think it's a low scoring game, a slow game. I like the matchup from a Texas A&M perspective, because they don't rely on the three a ton. They do get to the basket, and they are good at offensive rebounding, just like Houston is. So, you know, it's not a situation where it's like this team shoots a ton of threes. They shoot it really well. Houston can take that away. It's not like that. The other thing with Houston that I've talked about a ton is that as good as they are, they do have these tendencies to go cold at times. We saw it a couple years ago in the Elite Eight against Villanova. I come back to that game all the time, where they just could not make a shot from the outside. They went 1 of 20 from 3 in that game. They are a very good team. I think they're a Final Four contender. Over the last 5 years, I mean, they have been one of the top five teams in the country. Them and Gonzaga, probably the two most consistent programs in the country over the past 5 years. But they do have this tendency to go cold. And I think Texas A&M is good enough that if Houston does go a little bit cold, they could potentially win this game. I don't need them to win this game. I just need them to stay within 9. So for all of those reasons, I am taking Texas A&M plus 9. My last game that I'm playing on the college basketball slate is Alabama at Creighton. So Creighton is coming off this upset loss against UNLV earlier this week. And in that game, Creighton did not shoot very well at all. Creighton from the outside shot 28% in that game. But according to shot quality, according to their shot quality, they were expected to shoot 40% from 3 in that game. So a little bit of bad luck there. Shot quality, really good follow on Twitter, @shot_quality. Basically helps you understand what a team should have shot, should have scored based on the quality of their shots, right? We all know there's some component of luck. Sometimes shots fall, sometimes they don't. But what you can control as a team is the quality of the shots that you're getting. It's not perfect, but I do think it's something interesting to look at. I like a rebound here for Creighton, but what I'm not going to bet Creighton. What I'm actually going to bet is the over in this game. The total in this game is 162.5. I am going over in this game. If you look at BartTorvik.com and you take any of his preseason numbers out of it, you just look at how these two teams have performed since the season has started. The modified projection in this game is Creighton 87, Alabama 85, which is a total of 172 points. Alabama, not known for playing a ton of defense. They've played some really high-scoring games already this year. They get up and down the court. They have been very good offensively. They're the most efficient offense in the country this season. They played a game against Purdue just last Saturday, a 92-86 game against Purdue. They played a 99-91 game against Oregon, a 92-81 game against Ohio State. So they have put up some big numbers. They have given up some big numbers this year. I like Creighton to shoot better in this game against Alabama, and I will take the over in this one. Over 162.5. And then to wrap things up, I'm going to play one bowl game this week. It's going to be that nightcap, the Independence Bowl. And I'm going to take Texas Tech in this one. Texas Tech -3.5 is the best number I can find right now. A couple weeks ago, it was actually -2.5. Even earlier this week, it was -3. But nevertheless, I'm going to stick with Texas Tech -3.5. They have been a team that has been beat up all season long. Their quarterback, Baron Morton, was beat up. He is a guy that got healthier to end the regular season. He should be almost fully healthy now. I think that makes a huge difference for them. And then they got a huge boon earlier this week when their running back, Taj Brooks, announced that not only would he play in the bowl game, but he would be coming back to Texas Tech for another year, something that I don't think was really expected from most people. And Taj Brooks had a huge year for Texas Tech. He rushed for over 1,400 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. So this is a team that has actually a lot to play for as they look forward to next year. Baron Morton, their quarterback, is going to be coming back. Taj Brooks, their running back, is going to be coming back. They have a really strong recruiting class that they're bringing in, and this was not exactly the season that Texas Tech envisioned. They started off the season with 2 losses to Wyoming and Oregon. They actually had Oregon on the ropes in that game, but there was a lot more expected from this Texas Tech team. They were a fairly unlucky team this season. They did get absolutely just blasted by Texas to end the year, but I think, as we're seeing now, that Texas team is just really, really good. I think they are one of the top 4 teams in the country, and they're a team that I think can win the national championship. So I really like Texas Tech in this game. Give me Texas Tech -3.5 against Cal in the Independence Bowl. That's our show for today. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
How
about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast.
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lef Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.